Nashville Gender Talk. I'm your host, Roxanne Fox. This is Nashville Gender Talk. You're listening to Radio 98.9 WRFN, LPFM Pasco, Radio Free Nashville. We are low power for the people. That does not mean we are low-powered people. It just means we are low power, but we are for the people. Soon to be high power, from what we understand. And that's going to be great, isn't it, girls? We have our cast of... what should we call ourselves today?
Usual suspects.
Miss Sarah Gibson, would you like to say hello?
Hi.
And Laura Beth Wages.
Hello.
And we are here to talk about the usual topic with some additions. However, before we start, you are listening to WRFN LPFM Pasco, and a portion of today's programming is brought to you by Benetech. Benetech. They assist clients in the design and development and marketing of advanced technology, including conceptual design patents and, yes, intellectual property protection, and also securing development capital. Call Benetech at 937-367-5675. That's 937-367-5675, or you might reach them at by email at info@benetechllc.com. Also, we'd like to thank Gene Levine Plumbing, Bruce McMillan, Bill Fleury, Spotland Productions, and James Savage for helping us get on the air and continuing to support WRFN Community Radio. And last but not least, we want to say thank you to Fox Consulting. Fox Consulting for all of your skincare needs and beauty needs, featuring products by Avon. For a consultation, call Roxy at 615-330-0421 or email her at roxieslv2@aol.com. And now we want to tell you about some more programming that's on WRFN. Mezzy Cozy. This is a show about world music with Labor and Mikhail and Hughes. from the steeps and the steppes of Tuva to the beaches of Brazil, from South African Zulus to Central European Gypsies, music on a planetary scale, every second, fourth, and fifth Sundays of every month, from 10 p.m. to midnight. Expect the unexpected on Mezzicozy. We'd also like to let you know about the Alive Hospice. The Alive Hospice needs volunteers for both its Speakers Bureau and in the office. Call them at 615-963-4729 for more information. And Food Not Bombs serves meals to the homeless and the hungry every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 p.m., Legislative Plaza, 6th and Union, downtown. Laura Beth, why don't you tell everybody about our holiday extravaganza that we had on.
Well, we had a week ago Saturday, we had our annual T-Vals holiday celebration, and it was a success. We had approximately 40 attendees and really good food. I thought they gave us half a beef when they... You
know. We didn't have to say, where's the beef, did we?
No, we sure didn't.
They put on a great spread.
Yes, it was a very good meal. And everybody looked like they had time. Everybody was all decked out. And I know I had a couple of good photos taken.
Some of us got to wear Paris Originals.
But things are already in the works for next year's. I mean, it's one of those things that we have to start working on as soon as that one ends. You know, we have to start working on the one for the following year. So we're already in high gear working toward next year's. So if you miss this one, I invite you to come to the next one.
And we'd like to tell you a little bit about today's program. We are a program that is designed to bring unity and greater understanding within the LGBT straight community through education, information, and social interaction. We also hope to provide a platform for anyone who is experiencing gender dysphoria or who is in the need of a friend to come out of the closet and begin to realize their true self-worth. We feature personal testimony, professional consultants, live interviews, and music in a live call-in program format. Now, this is where you folks come in. We are live. We do have a call-in program format. And you can reach us at 615-662-8229. That's 615-662-8229. Once again, 615-662-8229. 229 to call in. Now, we need you to call in because you need to join our format. Today, we're talking about an ongoing program sequence we do called I've Been There, and I've Done That. I Own the Bra and the Panties, Had Them Off and On, The Naked Truth. And we'll be right back after this next song.
I can't get out of bed today or get you off my mind. I just can't seem to find a way to leave the love behind.
I ain't tripping, I'm just missing you.
You know what I'm saying, you know what I mean. You kept me hanging on a string while you make me cry. I tried to give you everything, but you just gave me love. You know what I mean, yeah.
Every now and then, when I'm all alone, I'll be wishing you would call me on the telephone. Say you want me back, but you never do. I feel like such a fool. There's nothing I can do. I'm such a fool for you. And I can't take it. What am I waiting for? My heart's still breaking. I miss you even more. I can't.
We're back. We're having a little bit of station difficulty here, but we fixed it. But the program is that you're listening to is designed for you to call in. Call us today at 615-662-8229. This program is called I've Been There, I've Done That, I Own the Bra and the Panties and Had Them Off and On, The Naked Truth. You might want to call in and ask how that name got started. But it's about who are we, the truth about hormones, emotions, the need for self-expression, Harry Benjamin standards, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we are going to talk a little bit about the good, the bad, and the ugly today. We're doing a continuation of a program talking about obstacles that we overcome and actually the good things that we get out of being who we are. So before we go much further, Sarah, why don't you say hello to everybody, and you got your microphone. Here we go. Yes, we're having great microphone things today. We're having a boom microphone, which has actually gone boom. Laura Beth, talk.
As we... How many T-girls does it take to run a radio station?
More than three, apparently.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hello, 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 hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, what we really are trying to do is we're trying to get everybody's attention today, you know?
Uh-oh. Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
You see, it's like I've always said. You can get more with a kind word and a two before than you can with just a kind word.
The almighty Bongolio. Bongolio.
The almighty.
If you see something, this big...
you want to explain that one to us?
Say, I'll get
this.
Oh, I'm trying to tell it. We are going to talk about Harry Benjamin today because it's kind of been, we had a rewrite. And so everything has changed now. We're just getting used to the other labels. Now we got new labels. What used to be transsexual is now Harry Benjamin syndrome. And all the other things are transgender, so...
Okay, so...
I don't know what it is, but anyway. Been the hottest talk on the internet lately on the trans sites, I know.
Well, maybe we ought to bring people up to speed a little bit on it. One of the things we can do here is give them just a little bit of background on one of the latest about the Harry Benjamin themselves. In persons diagnosed with transsexualism or profound GID, sex reassignment surgery, along with hormone therapy and real-life experience, is a treatment that has been proven to be effective. Such therapeutic regimens, when prescribed by or recommended by qualified practitioners, is medically indicated and medically necessary. Sex reassignment is not experimental, not investigational, not elective, and not cosmetic. Or is it optional in any meaningful sense? And it constitutes a very effective and appropriate treatment for transsexualism or profound GID. You know, the difference on this is in the Harry Benjamin standards number 4, which is the one I was familiar with, is they did say that it was elective. They said that we were basically having psychiatric-type problems and we're trying to get healed by cosmetic surgery. So this is a big step forward. It's a very big step forward. However, one of the things, we opened this topic last week. We're going to continue to go on this topic. But, you know, there's now something like like Laura, Sarah was saying about the Harry Benjamin syndrome. And yes, Sarah.
Okay, you want me to give you the actual new definition?
Yes.
Okay. Harry Benjamin syndrome is an intersex biological condition developed in the early stages of pregnancy affecting the process of sexual differentiation between male and female. This happens when the brain develops as a certain sex, but the rest of the body takes on the physical characteristics of the opposite sex. This difference between this and most other intersex conditions is that there is no apparent evidence until much later, after the baby is born, or even as late as adolescence.
Okay.
Syndrome was known in the past under many different names, the most common being transsexualism, and by some even as a subset of transgenderism. Neither of these is appropriate, since one deals with just transsex and the other lists under an umbrella many sexual variations and elements. None deal with the actual condition of Harry Benjamin syndrome, which is an intersex abnormality. As you might imagine, the...
Now, intersex does not mean the plumbing, the equipment. Intersex means in the brain, in the mind.
Right, uh-huh.
Because some people were very confused about that, myself included at first. So if you're like me, you were confused out there. The number to call is 615-662-8229 if you're confused.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, since medical science is powerless to realign the brain to match the body, the accepted way to relieve this stress and allow the individual to live a more normal and whole life is to hormonally prepare and physically the physical body for surgery to match the brain. This syndrome is still wrongfully classified as transsexualism by the ICD-10 or Gender Identity Disorder by the DSM-4-TR.
So the important thing to realize is the thing that's changed is that which we've been actually fighting for, if you want to call it that, or struggling with, has actually happened. We actually do have the medical society saying that our surgery is not elected.
Right.
It's not cosmetic.
Well, see, our problem
and it is important.
Really been with the medical society. The real problem has been with the American Psychiatric Association and their determination. See, they're the ones that deal with the DSM, the diagnostic. What is it? Diagnostic Syndrome Manual, DSM.
DSM-4, DSM-6.
Right, uh-huh.
Which is now DSM-6 now.
Right. And the problem is, they have always said in there that we had a severe psychological problem which can be treated with cosmetic surgery.
And that's what's been fixed. They're not...
Well, I don't know. We're just talking about the Harry Benjamin standards now, which comes from a group of practitioners, I believe, who are all medical doctors.
But that's been the guideline they've been using.
Well, for standards of care, yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But not for diagnosis. They've been using the DSM for diagnosis.
Right, and what I read was the DSM.
No.
Yes, what I read came out of DSM-6.
DSM-6, right?
DSM-6,
new one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's
so
what's kind of exciting.
Actually, lots of things have changed.
But, you know, one of the main problems we have, even within our groups, is there's so many different opinions. What was it we said? You can get, 400 transgendered people in one room and ask them their opinion, and you probably get 399 different opinions. That's because one of them was asleep and didn't care.
Well, I always figured that you can get, if you have two transgendered individuals in the same room, it's hard to get them to agree to anything.
Absolutely. So when this came out, as most of you know, there's these opinions. For example, 99% of the opinions about this, which we just read, about the Harry Benjamin syndrome, which basically outlines the new guidelines and explains what's being looked at. If you are transsexual, 99% of these opinions were positive. However, 85% of the respondents agree with the Harry Benjamin and consider themselves to have what's called the Harry Benjamin syndrome. Han, read the syndrome one more time, just the actual definition of the syndrome so that everybody knows what we're talking about.
Okay. Let's see. What did I do with it? Oh, okay. Okay. Shuffle through my papers here. Okay. Harry Benjamin syndrome is an intersex biological condition developed at the early stages of pregnancy, affecting the process of sexual differentiation between male and female. This happens when the brain develops as a certain sex, but the rest of the body takes on the physical characteristics of the opposite sex. The difference between this and most other intersex conditions is that there is no apparent evidence until much later, after the baby is born, or even as late as an adolescent.
And what they're meaning there is they're meaning when normally
no
when they talk about intersex, sometimes
right.
people are born with two types of genitalia,
exactly,
and so forth. So we're not talking about the genitalia; we're talking about what's in the mind.
Right.
There was actually a further part on I think on that too that made a big explained a big difference between transsexual and transgender or cross-dressing and so forth. But here was some of the comments that have been made as a result of the Harry Benjamin syndrome. Now remember, the Harry Benjamin syndrome, what we just read, also says that it is definitely very helpful to have corrective surgery, and it's not cosmetic, it's not elective.
It's not experimental.
And that's the beginning, that's a beginning in the right direction. But here's what some comments were. Now, 85% of respondents agree with HBJ, that is the Harry Benjamin syndrome, and consider themselves to have it. This group welcomes changes. There are 4% of those that consider themselves transsexual who disagree with the diagnosis. All in this group are affirmed post-op, and some run transsexual support sites who will not change over to this new, we're talking about the new HBJ, Harry Benjamin. They believe that it is a mistake to change it to a physiological condition because they feel it is calling it a disease like AIDS. If I felt this were true, this is the author, I would be upset too. However, I don't see that in any HBJ document I've read. It is a syndrome that seems to occur naturally. One person fears that the diagnosis could lead to selective abortions. At this time, there is no way to diagnose HBJ before birth. That's birth. That's what we were talking about, Sarah.
Yeah.
Do not understand the concern, though, because it's not after birth, so they can't control birth. They don't know what it's going to be before birth. But it goes on to say that they do understand how in China, until it became illegal, that was happening with their one-child grouping people into undesirable categories, as the Nazis did during World War II. If it happens again, it would happen no matter if you were called transsexual or were diagnosed with HBJ. So there's just the thing, when I was reading this, this is a group that doesn't want to be considered a birth defect, if you want to call it that. They'd prefer to keep it psychological.
Right.
But if you keep it psychological...
They only comprise 4% of it.
Yeah. And if they want to keep it psychological, that means that we're back to the old way, which it says we're psychological and we're having cosmetic surgery. But I thought it was very interesting that this group was all post-op.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like they've already had it done, so they don't care about it now.
Exactly.
Now, still others were worried about legal and political issues as to what would happen if transgender were dropped from the GLBT. There is a bill in the Senate that already has passed the House giving rights to gays, lesbians, and transgendered. Would that leave those with HBS out? Two responders worried that they would lose their disability status if the GID was no longer a psychological condition. The 11% who disagreed were transgendered and cross-dressers who objected to the wording of the HBJ documents. They didn't like being called fetishists. They do believe that their problems are not physical, though. As one said, HBJ gives absolutely no suggestions as to what to do with them to treat them. So let's open up some discussion on some of this, because what's really being talked about is one of the best things I see that's happened has happened, you know, for any one of us, has taken place. And now you have a whole group of people, you know, saying regardless of the numbers, not everybody's in agreement.
Yeah. And you know, actually, it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges. I mean, true, both of them are fruits that grow on a tree, but that's where the similarities stop. When you talk about someone who is, transgendered, who has gender identity disorder, which means a cross-dresser, a transvestite, a drag queen, a performer who that's all they do is just perform as a female and female impersonators, if you will. Those are transgendered individuals.
Well, and the thing I want to make a real big point here is we're not saying that every transsexual is going to have their surgery, or that, I mean, there's so many ways, you know, health is one thing that prevents it.
Yeah,
some choose not to have their surgery, but that doesn't alter the fact that they are not, go ahead.
Out of those who want their surgery and who are healthy enough, 85% of them can never afford it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
that was what it said too.
It's just like if you had cancer and you can't afford radiation or chemotherapy,
you die.
Doesn't mean you still don't have cancer.
Exactly.
It just means you can't have the treatment.
Exactly.
Just because you cannot go all the way and have the surgery to correct Harry Benjamin syndrome doesn't mean you don't have Harry Benjamin syndrome.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Absolutely the same thing.
Is because they've always grouped it as a psychological condition treated by cosmetic surgery, then the insurance companies have refused to pay for it because it's considered.
Yeah, this will fix it.
This will fix it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's the whole thing, because I have wonderful insurance, but it won't cover my surgery. As a matter of fact, I've had a hard time getting it to cover much of anything. And, you know, I'm just maybe halfway through, and I've already spent nearly $50,000. You know, it's expensive, especially when you have to pay it out of your pocket. And most of us, we lose our source of income because we lose our jobs and all sorts of things. So, I think the insurance company should have to pay for it. I paid for the insurance.
And this is a first step that we've seen in a while that maybe makes that possible. So I don't know what the listening people, listeners are thinking out there who are listening to this program, but it would be interesting to find out how many transsexual, transgendered people would agree with the fact that by moving the definition to saying that we are it's a physical problem at birth, and it's not even necessarily a physical problem, it's a condition. You know, some people are saying that this is a problem. It's like being born with a disease. I don't think it's a disease. Diseases you usually want to get rid of, and most of us don't want to get rid of who we are, you know. It is a birth condition, however, for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of question around.
And because it's considered to be abnormal, then it's considered to be a birth defect.
No, that's true.
So,
And if it is a birth defect, and if it's a physical condition, then it ought to be like any other birth defect that
has the insurance cover it.
Right.
The corrective therapy.
Surgery.
Absolutely.
If a child is born with a cleft palate, or spinal bifida, an incomplete spine, they do surgery, and the surgery's covered. So what's the difference between doing that surgery and doing the surgery to correct our physical problems?
There shouldn't be any difference.
Exactly.
There shouldn't be any difference at all.
See, what the difference is, the insurance company can make, you know, much, much more money. I would like to remind you, by the way, you are listening to WRFM Pasquale, 98.9 FM low power for the people.
You're not on. Try it again.
Okay, how's that?
That's better.
Oh, am I on?
You're on.
Oh, I was trying to tell you, this is WRFN. 98.9 LPFM radio for beautiful downtown Pasquale. I'll get it right here in a minute. I want to remind you, you can also listen at radiofreenashville.org, where you can listen online, buy merchandise, and donate. And this is a live call-in show, so you can call at 615-662-8229.
You know how we sometimes will tell a joke on this program?
Yeah.
Well, we got an audible joke this time.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This is our humor for the day.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Six alien abductions will do that to a girl.
I'm really stupid.
The number you have reached.
It's going by itself. This is the joke.
Little me, my nuts are small as pearls. You like to laugh at me because I'm hung just like a squirrel. Sometimes it bugs me, I'm not a bigger guy. When I was a baby, it was exactly the same size. But there's nothing I can do, cause I only got a 3-inch tool. Come home with me, have a cocktail at my place. I gotta tell you before we get past second base. In my pants, ain't no big swing. But if you can...
So much for the joke.
Hurry down the chimney tonight. you believe in me. Such a baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone. Such a baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
That's one of my favorite songs, and we're back. You're listening to Nashville Gender Talk. I'm your host, Roxanne Fox, and we are having some studio problems today, and we're also trying out some new systems. So if you are hearing strange things, it's because we're trying out new systems. You know, getting back to part of what we're talking about in a few minutes, there was something I read from something called The Conservative Voice, and I just thought I'd read this because this is the most insane thing that I have ever heard. This shows just exactly how ignorant and stupid the conservative side can be if they choose to be. Recently passed New Jersey legislation provides for outlawing discrimination based on gender, identity, or expression. This and similar legislation is in the first America's history to establish protected classes based on chosen behavior, there's the first mistake,
yep,
or gender expression. Legislation on behavior expression cannot exist without conflicting with protected religious beliefs of those who oppose this similar lifestyle. Now, you see, that's the second problem. We're not doing
it. It's not lifestyle.
One, it's not chosen. And two, if whether it is or not, it has nothing to do with somebody who doesn't choose it.
Yeah.
But this really gets insane. It is also reasonable, then, to assume similar gender identity or expression under this general form of legislation may have to include those chosen behavioral expressions of love for animals. And a person practicing that love cannot be discriminated against in the workplace. We may have to accept goat love in the workplace or provide health care benefits for and goat breaks. It is unclear what gender expression is limited to, but what it appears to have a broad, all-inclusive interpretation. Now, this person, I guarantee you, knows nothing about what he's talking about.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Yeah.
But is that the most insane, stupid thing you've ever heard? It's not even funny.
That is the generally accepted stance or opinion about us among the conservative right.
But it's so wrong. Well, it's not just us. It's yeah.
Well, they're talking particularly about us.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's like they don't know that apparently, and they don't want to know, and all they have to do is pick up any of the copies of the DSM-6, and they'll get educated a little bit, and that this is not a lifestyle choice.
It kind of amazes.
Not a choice at all.
It kind of amazes me that they write all these things and they don't even research what's there.
Well, you got to look at who they're writing to. They're preaching to the choir. You know, this is the flock that are following them blindly. You know, like the flock who followed Ted Haggard. You know, who come to find out he was a closeted homosexual, which he preached very, very much against being homosexual and had been having a relationship with a male prostitute for over 3 years. So, I mean, you know, and his congregation consisted of 30 million people who were following him blindly. So, I mean...
Well, you know, do the names Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart...
Yes.
Do all these names ring a bell?
Pat Robertson.
Do all these names ring a bell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
And every one of them has been closeted with something.
Yes, some form or another that...
You know, their sexual binges with prostitutes,
yes.
their gay relationships, their, you know, whatever. You know, they,
extortion and...
Yeah. Payoff money, to,
yeah.
You know, hush money,
yeah.
You know, and all sorts of things. I mean, even Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the world of Jesse Jackson. But, I mean, you know, people who don't know what they're talking about shouldn't be talking about it. You know?
This is true.
Because
and they certainly shouldn't be authoritative
ears.
About it.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be authoritative
yeah,
about it by any means.
The thing is, the good Lord gave you two ears and one mouth.
There was a reason for that.
Yeah, you should listen twice as much as you talk.
So what we've been talking about in the last couple of programs and what we're talking about today is the idea of acceptance, self-acceptance, both. We're talking about acceptance universally by those around us and also self-acceptance and some of the obstacles. And certainly some of the obstacles is this perception that this is by choice by just about everyone. And then one of the other obstacles has got to be the fact that we ourselves, not necessarily in this room, but we can't unite on certain topics to get things through. So, what do you do? I mean, if you can't get the transsexuals to agree on the definition of what transsexuality is, because that's basically what we're talking about.
Well, we're going to have to rely on things like the Harry Benjamin board and the medical community and the psychological community to educate the American public.
Well, this news here is a big step in getting us out of the DSM-6.
Yes, it is. Yes,
where we do not belong.
Yes, it is.
Right. I know.
Yes, it is.
And actually, by giving us a new designation, we're not in the DSM.
We shouldn't be. You know, we should be completely removed from there based on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a syndrome, not a disorder.
Right.
And from what I'm hearing, we are removed from there, but we have not yet. It has not yet, filtered up to or down to the AMA and the people who make the decisions. And it certainly hasn't been affected by the insurance companies as of yet either.
Oh, the insurance companies are going to fight it tooth and nail.
Oh, yeah,
sure
they
will.
They fought like crazy to get us pulled off the insurance coverage, 20 years ago anyway. And they did that successfully. And so, as far as the way they see it, that's millions of dollars they've saved for surgery and treatment they don't have to cover. And they're going to want to continue to save that so they can give their shareholders their 30% return on their investment.
Well, so there's only two ways to fix that. One is to politically try and go after it, or to actually go through the legal system, both of which are long-term ways of doing it.
Right, exactly.
But we now have the platform, to stand on.
You got some ammunition now.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid I'll be dead and buried long before this is ever...
Well, I probably will too, but now we're talking about being instrumental. Remember, we were talking about how the pride got started. Remember, we were talking about that.
I mean, Stonewall.
Yeah.
Barn. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember how we talked about just a few people? We talked about a couple of things, but just a few people started it, and now it's over a period of time, it's gone a long time. Mm-hmm. However, that brings us to another point, and that is the ones who started Pride pretty much, and we are trying to bring unity amongst the entire GLBT community, but it's interesting that the ones behind Pride were largely transsexuals.
Yeah.
And now the gays have some rights, the lesbians have some rights.
Everybody gained but us.
And we didn't gain anything.
Yeah.
And that's not really altogether.
Yeah, the Stonewall riots was actually led by the trans community.
Exactly.
Well, you have to look at every... first it was women's suffrage. That movement took a long time to get women just the right to vote. And then look how long it took... to get blacks equal rights.
Yeah, but why do you think that the Pride movement was started by transsexuals, transgender people, and they're the only ones that didn't get anything out of it? That's kind of unique at best.
Well, I hate to tell you that.
I think it's because of the transgendered, transsexual people.
Because once those original ones started, nobody from the transgender community climbed on board the bus.
Well, that's exactly what
they drove the bus.
The problem was,
the rest of the GLB community didn't want us on the bus.
Yeah.
So once they got the bus rolling, they threw us off. Mm-hmm.
So now we've got to the point where we're invited back on the bus, but we still don't have the rights.
We can only sit in the back.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but that's the way
it is. Well, I'm judging things by Nashville.
Nashville is an anomaly.
Yes.
Because if you... Because I've talked to people Well, remember when Ethan St. Pierre was on this show?
Yeah, I do.
And he said
that.
It's not like that in Boston. It's not like that in New York a lot.
So we are in the back of the bus or kicked off the bus, whichever.
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
and we're going to stay that way though until we get our own bus.
There's a lot of places.
Exactly. That's what I kept telling everybody. You know,
as welcome as we are in GLBT clubs here, in big cities like that, we're tolerated. We're not exactly welcomed. We're tolerated.
I used to live up in Delaware. I was 12 miles from Rehoboth Beach. I was not welcomed in the gay and lesbian clubs in Rehoboth Beach.
See, we were talking about that, about going to different cities or going to different states and so forth.
Exactly.
And it's one of the reasons why we haven't gone anywhere.
That's why we haven't moved.
In the end result.
Yeah, because... we have a very, very good relationship here in Nashville.
It's getting better.
Very unique to the GLBT
community. Yes, it is.
And so I don't want to leave.
I think Nashville has the potential to be the seat of the birth for the transgendered rights if we could just get the transgendered people to come out and do something.
Yeah, I know, but that's like trying to pull...
Or the transsexuals, whichever.
Yeah, it's trying to pull hen's teeth.
Well, when you figure the amount of...
First of all, you got to find...
When you figure the amount of transgender people that are in this city, and you figure we have trouble getting 20 of them to a support group meeting on one Saturday a month...
Statistically, based on population...
When we know they've identified to the tune of about 59, 60...
Well, when we know historically how many have belonged to this group before, and they haven't moved. They're coming on, but they haven't moved.
I mean, if you go based upon statistics and the population of Nashville-Davidson County, there should be approximately 3,000 transgendered individuals in and around Nashville and the metropolitan area.
And we've got 10 to 15 of us out there being activists.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
But that's never going to achieve anything.
No, 15 people. 15 people as an active movement is not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, we need more people out there to be active. And I understand why they don't. Because a lot of them are not out. And if they would come out, they would lose everything, just like a lot of us did. You'd lose your livelihood, your job, your family. I mean, house, car, even your dog. I mean,
But still... if you're going to be the kind of person that has to come out, that's one category.
Well, if you are
part of the overall community, you don't have to come out. That doesn't mean you can't support it financially. You can't support it politically. In fact, most of them don't even have to use the real name or whatever because they're in the closet. Nobody knows them.
Absolutely.
So it's not just coming out and walking down the street or...
Right.
Putting your name on a radio program.
Being willing to be active.
We're not requiring people to be activists. But I think the word involved, it covers...
There's a lot of behind the scenes things that need to be done.
Absolutely.
That don't require public
identification. Absolutely. And the thing is, the groups that are out there providing support and being active in legislation and all that, they need money. This takes money for these people to do it. And for the most part, most of them do it out of their own pocket.
Like when Jenny ran.
The Tennessee Vows, they are supported totally from within. The Transgendered Political Coalition...
Totally from within.
...is totally from within. We could take donations, but... We don't get any donations, and I know that there are people out there who could very well dig into their very deep pockets and give us some money.
Well, I think, I think you got a point there. Maybe people are afraid to give to small organizations or whatever, But if somebody would take the initiative, and we've talked about this too, to actually, for example, have the cause of the DSM-6 changes, being promoted over to AMA or whatever we need to do there, but actually align behind an idea rather than a group.
All people got to do to make a change, write their legislators. When the legislator finds out, hey, I've got gee, this is about the 16th or 17th transgender person I found in my district. Maybe, you know, maybe, you know, I do need to, it's...
Because it's been my experience that legislators right now, because they think we are such a small, insignificant portion of the population, they will listen politely and then show you the door, and that's about it. And so, you know, it takes a lot of effort to finally get through to them that there are, in fact, thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of us across the United States. And that's because the transgender community, for the most part, stays hidden, you know, because our society considers anyone that's in the transgender community to be sick, you know, mentally sick. And that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Well, you heard it. You heard it there. It's, you know, it's a choice and a bad one, according to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they think. They think we chose poorly. I mean, you know, if you're out there and you're transgendered, and if you are actually suffering from Harry Benjamin syndrome, I can tell you right now,
it's not a choice.
Yeah, I don't know what age you are, but at some point in your life, you will have to deal with this because it will not go away. It will not get better. And, you know, it's just it's something you're going to have to deal with because it will actually become such turmoil in your life that it will create medical problems. So, and that's speaking from someone who's been there, done that.
Well, another thing is if you're out there and you are a cross-dresser or you just consider yourself transgendered, you don't consider yourself transsexual, realize that as time goes by, things are progressive and you may actually be in the beginning of stages and you may actually be transsexual. So when you don't support things that help your cause, you're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways you can provide. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I think we're more out than we used to be. I mean, Nashville didn't used to have a program like this.
Yeah, it's really changed over the last 4 years since I've been out and about in the community in Nashville. I've seen a lot of changes.
We have advocacy on Capitol Hill here in Nashville.
Yes. I mean, it's just like, last Congress, the House passed a non-discriminatory and hate crimes bill, which was transgender inclusive. And, of course, the Senate shot it down. But I thought that was rather interesting. Had the Senate just accepted it the way the House drew it up, that bill would have passed and would have given us equal protection under the law.
Well,
and that's really all we're looking for is equal protection and treatment under the law. And that's because that's what we're supposed to have. I mean, the Constitution says, you know, that we should have equal protection under the law, and even the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. What's the very last part of that? With liberty and justice for all.
Right.
You know, not just some of them, but for all. And that's what we want. We want liberty and justice for all. I mean, I saw a thing on CNN the other night. Paul Azan was doing a thing about how racism is just skin deep, and in a lot of ways that's true. You know, the racial hatred and bigotry in this country is still here, people.
She's planning to have another show where she's going to be talking. I thought they said transgender, gay, and lesbian, but I know they said gay and lesbian.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, it's not like we're not wanting special rights. We're not wanting, you know, to make exceptions for us. We just want equal rights. We want to be treated like a human, like we are.
And what we really want is we want safety when we're out there for everybody.
13.
That, you know, for everybody who deals with this. But again, this is, I guess it's been going for years, obviously. I wasn't always an activist, but then I wasn't always aware of what I was. But as I became what I am and knew it, I guess I became an activist because how can you be true to yourself, you know, if everything else you stand for is against you? That's the biggest thing I've discovered. You know,
well, this is a free country. If you're a rich, white male, with basically. But
you have privilege, yes.
Yeah, you have privilege. Yeah. Basically, that's
It's kind of interesting when we talk privilege, getting a little lighter here. We talk about giving up our male privilege. I was thinking about it the other day. We do give up our male, you know, if you're male to female, transsexual, you do give up your male privilege.
Yes. You're not a member of the good old boys club.
But I have been having so much fun with the female privilege of late.
Yes, absolutely.
It is so great. I mean, I love it the way, it's probably not as strong as the male privilege, I'm sure it isn't, but if you learn how to use it, it's a lot of fun. And even if you don't get everything you want, it's fun to try. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But female privilege, I think, far surpasses male privilege. So I guess that only backs up the fact that I should have been a woman to begin with. But, you know, I don't miss the male privilege. I really don't.
I don't think I ever really used it or had it.
Well, that's another issue altogether there. We're going to have a slight music break in just a few minutes.
Let me inform everyone out there that they are listening to WRFN Low Power 98.9 on your FM dial, and it's in beautiful downtown Pasquale. You can also listen online, buy merchandise, or donate at RadioFreeNashville.org. You can call in today at 615-662-8229.
Dear Santa Claus, my mommy and daddy said that if I was very good, I could have whatever I wanted for Christmas. Well, I would like a dolly for Christmas. It is a very special dolly. I saw it advertised on television. In case you don't know which dolly I mean, I will try to describe it to you. The pretty little dolly can sit. The pretty little dolly can stand. She will even walk around the room if you take her hand. The pretty little dolly can turn. The pretty little dolly can dance. If you feed her water through a tube, she will wet her pants. Close the pliers. She perspires. If you give her a playful squeeze, she will cough and belch and sneeze. Oh, the pretty little dolly, so cute. The pretty little dolly, so real. If you take her out into the sun, she bursts, and 3 days later she'll peel. The pretty little dolly can sing. The pretty little dolly can shout. Hold her footsies high above her head and she passes out. The pretty little dolly can plead. The pretty little dolly can beg. And she screams in realistic pain when you break her leg. Heavy drinking gets her stinking. On her back you can turn a key, and she goes through puberty. Pretty little dolly can laugh. The pretty little dolly can cry. If you put a plastic bag around your head,
My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thoughts cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
God darn it, Mr.
And a portion of today's programming is being brought to you by Butler Networks. Butler Networks, featuring streaming audio throughout the internet. Butler Networks provides high-speed internet throughout the Nashville and surrounding areas. You may reach Butler Networks at 369-7070. If you're out of the area, that's 615-369-7070. Or visit them in the web, on the web, at Butler Network. Perhaps you too can buy a pretty little dolly. This portion of today's programming is also brought to you by Perfection Lawn Care. Perfection Lawn Care designs, installs, landscaping including drainage systems, ponds, patios, and decks. Maybe you could teach that pretty little dolly how to swim, huh? Perfection Lawn Care at 615-485-6242 or Perfection Lawn Care at MicrosoftNetwork.com, MSN.com. Once again, their phone is 615-485-6242. And then we'd like to thank Fox Consulting for all of their help in putting the programming on. Featuring products by Avon for all your skincare and beauty needs, call Roxy at 615-330-0421 or Roxy, ROXIESLV2 at AOL.com on the net. Talk, talk, talk. Rant, rant, rant. Isn't it more talk radio than this? Yes. Tune in to Tennessee's Sunday Morning Church of Poetry from 11 till noon right here on WRFN. Difficult listening with David Harries, devoted an hour to reading and talking about the benefits and the beauties of the language. And we'd like to bring your attention to the Red Cross. The Red Cross, blood supplies are low, and the Red Cross needs your help. Please donate today. It's simple, but so worthwhile. Save a life, give blood. And now, back to our program. We've been discussing the problems of being in the transgender community. We've been discussing the obstacles we face, both personally and publicly. We've been discussing the attributes of being transsexual, cross-gendered, suffering from the Harry Benjamin syndrome. And what we're trying to do today is we're trying to let everybody know that we're actually in a better position than we've ever been before, although we're still nowhere near where we need to be. I know a lot has changed since this program started, which was 90 programs ago, but there's still a lot of things that we need to do, and most of it falls on the shoulders of you out there who suffer from gender dysphoria. Most of it falls on your shoulders as a cross-dresser or as a transsexual. It falls on your shoulders to step up and do something about it. Now, when we say step up and do something about it, we're not talking about coming out of the closet publicly at work. We're not talking about coming out as publicly necessary, even in your home. If that's what you need to do, you'll know whether you need to do that. That's not what we're discussing. What we are discussing is, let's all of us who are in this position work together to change our position so that we can have equal rights. Let's work on the things that protect us. Let's get included in the in the hate crimes bills. Let's do what we can as a group to influence our legislators. Let's take $5 a month and send it to either the TPAC or some place that's going to generate change within the trans community. if you're out there and you do have gender dysphoria, and I guess the best definition to gender dysphoria is if you have in your mind that you should have been a woman, but you have the body of a man, then you're transgendered. You have gender dysphoria. GID is what it's called. If you have the mind of a man, but you were born with breasts of a woman and other parts, then you too have gender dysphoria. If you have gender dysphoria, you're faced with doing one of two things. Live in the closet, don't come out, don't share your needs, or come out. It is true that if you come out, you're likely to have a lot of loss along the way. You're likely to, if you come completely out, you may lose your job, you'll most likely lose your family if you're married. You'll take some loss. But if you stay in the closet, you lose yourself. And not being true to yourself can be a very, very bad thing. So even if you have to come out, or you don't come out, you can at least, from the closet, if you need to, represent your own community. You can do things that help pass the rules and pass the laws. You can help those of us who are out, who maybe already have lost pretty much everything, and have seen the rainbow on the other side, because I'd like to mention that. We don't mention that enough. Yes, if you come out, you're most likely going to lose everything. But there's also the opportunity to be your true self and find out who you really can be, and you can gain a lot,
yes,
depending on the steps you take.
Absolutely.
You can find true love, for example, if you're a female and you've been a male all your life. You can find the true love that you need as a female to exist. You can find, I don't know, there's just so many different things.
Happiness.
But you have to be, if you are going to be yourself, if you take that step, I guess what I'm trying to say is there are things on the other side,
yes,
that make up
very
for that
rewarding,
which you lose.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of the most rewarding times in my life are now that I'm me.
Absolutely.
Because I've always been me. I just couldn't enjoy me because
couldn't
I couldn't
let anybody know
live
who you
me.
Were. Right.
I didn't even know who I was.
I knew who I was. I just couldn't show
it. Well, I mean, I knew who I was, but I really didn't know who she was, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because until I came out, I didn't know who I'd be. I mean, I knew I was Roxy. I knew that I was a woman.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea what Roxy was going to be like.
Well, you
and now that I'm out, the community probably,
yeah,
which is I wasn't.
Well, you never had the opportunity to develop, exactly, your social skills.
Exactly.
You know, as a female.
Exactly.
And that is very, very satisfying.
Would you say I've developed a few?
Well, you've developed some traits. I don't know if you'd call them social skills or not.
I'll get you later.
Oh, okay. You ask.
But the truth of the matter is,
if you didn't want an answer, you shouldn't have asked the question.
Never, what's that they say? If you're doing in the law, you know, a lawyer never asks a suspect the question
he doesn't already know the answer to.
Yeah, like I can't even answer. But, you know, it's a lot of fun, and it's very, very rewarding being yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it took me a long time. I put it off and put it off forever. And I had known for, without revealing my age, I had known for a very long time of my true identity. It's just that I couldn't show the rest of the world my true identity because... everyone accepts you on your physical appearance, and if you are something that is contrary to what you look like physically, then you're considered to be some kind of an oddball freak, or
a
freak of nature, I think is what I've heard myself referred to sometimes by people. And
you're not.
No, I'm not. It happens a lot more than people realize. The latest statistics suggest that someone is born
in the GLBT community, approximately one out of every 100 births. So there's a lot of us out there. Mm-hmm. And I still like to include everyone in the GLBT community.
I do too.
Because, you know, I mean,
well, we're all fighting the same battle.
We are. We're
I just wish some of the rest
battles,
of the GLs
you know?
Would, the, yeah. the GLBs would, yeah. would recognize that we're right there too. And,
yeah.
You know, I still think, though, if the entire community completely united, you know,
we'd be very powerful.
Harvey Firestone, the guy yeah, we listen to every now and then. I think he's really a fantastic person. But
I think
he's
he is
right,
too.
He's right where I'm at. I mean, he's constantly trying to get everybody to work together.
Absolutely.
And he
yeah.
focuses on when we don't work together.
We would have such a powerful voting bloc in this country if we could get the entire GLBT community to unite behind a common cause, because we are, there's probably approximately, if you go by statistics, there's approximately 30 million of us nationwide. So,
well, the interesting thing is, if 1 in 100 are us, okay,
yeah.
that means 99 in 100 are the others.
Yes.
Now, we mm-hmm. have a desire and a need to be heard, so yeah. our motivation is much stronger than those who just take it lightly when elections occur and so forth and so on. So wouldn't it be interesting to note if you took the 1 in 100
yeah.
and you put them up against the, you know, United for a Cause, and you put them up against how many vote out of the 99? How many are active yeah. on Capitol Hill out of the 99? I mean, the people who are out there who've got it made, they don't worry a lot about keeping it because they think it'll never go away.
Absolutely.
But that's not true either.
No.
I'm not going to tell them that it might, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, I just
ignorance is bliss, and they got a lot of bliss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't really want to upset anybody else's, you know, little world or anything. I really my biggest drive right now is to stop the number of hate crimes against us throughout the United States and the world. I mean, you know, every year we have the Day of Remembrance on November 20th. And this past year, we added 19 new names to that list, the ones who were killed in the past year. And that is absolutely a totally unacceptable number. I would like to take this opportunity to remind you, you're listening to WRFN, LPFM 98.9, Pasquale, Tennessee. And you can listen on the Internet. Where you can listen, you can buy merchandise and donate at radiofreenashville.org. This is a call-in show, so you can call us at 615-662-8229.
You know, it looks to me like if we could just get that one important thing, which would be the safety side.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a starting point.
Absolutely.
And anybody
yeah.
who calls himself a Christian, or even an individual in some religion who believes in living a good life,
surely cannot
whatever
condone.
The religion happens yeah. to be, without getting into all of that, or for that matter, even a decent agnostic who doesn't believe in anything but whatever, and
yeah,
I'm not saying that's
the
bad,
yeah.
they should all be able to agree that nobody, no one group of people or any individuals should be, you know, should be open season on them.
Right.
Well, just because people don't
No one
don't
deserves
understand.
To be murdered.
Exactly.
But to be murdered just for being your true self, that is terrible. I mean, you know.
It's horrible.
It is horrible. And we've got to get some protection under the law. I mean, we're entitled to equal protection under the law.
We are.
And, you know, I would really like to see us.
But again, we're not going to get it if we're all of this. It's kind of frustrating because
it's very
you know I mean it's frustrating because of what we see the liberal not the liberals but the
conservative
the evangelicals and whatever you know
right
it's really really frustrating when you look at that but to me it is so much more frustrating
yes
I mean if I had a platform if I was going to go on television which I like to do if I was going to be featured on talk shows or whatever
yeah.
My platform would have to be speaking out to those of us who won't do our part.
Right.
I wrote an article once. Well, actually, that was the Felicity Huffman thing. She was saying how it's just amazing to her that people, you know, she steps on a stage and she has to be someone else. but she's just amazed at those of us who have to live our lives as ourselves. You know, and every day that's our job, we go out and be ourselves. The problem is many of us don't go to work.
Yeah.
We don't do it. I'm not talking to you, I'm not talking to anybody
in particular. Yeah, I think she said something to the effect of the courage and all that it takes for us to live our true self is absolutely amazing. And I think that's because she really achieved a pretty good understanding of what someone with Harry Benjamin syndrome really goes through, because she had some advisors who were, post-operative Harry Benjamin syndrome individuals, and I think she really grasped it. You know, she got it. You know,
yes, she did.
And I just wish more people in this country would take the time to try and understand. I think it's just our society, and it's so hard for us to gain acceptance because we are very much out of the middle of the road norm. Honey, are your phones on?
Oh, yes, they're on.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the light, so I was just wondering in case somebody had been trying to call and couldn't get through. All we want to do is be able to live in peace and be afforded the protection of the law.
Well, the thing is, you know, there's many people, like in my family, every family has their black sheep. Every family has their things that they don't talk about, you know, when they have the holiday parties and this kind of stuff. Everybody has their ghosts in the closet, okay? And a lot of the so-called religious right and Republican or Democrat, either one makes no difference at this point, but have these ideas about how certain segments of society should be ostracized. They themselves do things that are basically inherently wrong. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying everybody, that's not about everybody, but I'm just saying, one, nobody's perfect. If you're religious out there, the reason why you're not perfect, the reason why you have a God and you want to do what he says is because you know you're not perfect. I mean, and if you're an atheist, that's okay too. The thing is, you still have standards you live your life by, but nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
But the problem is that apparently, even though the Bible says no sin's worse than another one, there are sins that are worse than others, you know?
Yeah.
And there isn't, but I mean, that's the way it's looked at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay if you are in a heterosexual relationship with a woman and you're married as a guy. It's not okay, but actually, to some extent, it is okay to go out and have an affair. And it's even expected that your wife should forgive you.
Absolutely.
And vice versa.
So frequently. Yeah.
And even if she doesn't, it's perfectly okay to be the boss in that household and make her afraid to leave you, or even create problems for her if she leaves you. I mean, all of these things happen in normal households.
Yeah.
And yet two gay people can't get together because they love each other. Two lesbians can't get together because they love each other. And God help you if you happen to be a transsexual and you're married to the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
yeah,
nobody should be targeted. Nobody. It should not be open season on anybody. When I say open season, I'm talking about the murder. But neither should they be out there with no, and I'll say it this way, with no religious, with no political, and no medical help.
Right.
So that the suicide rate is three times what it is for a, quote, notice I didn't say normal person. I said a non-transgendered person.
Well, you know, it's actually much higher than that, honey.
Well, I figured it was, but you get the idea. I mean,
for individuals under 30 years of age who are in the GLBT, or in the transgendered community, which would include cross-dressers, but primarily those of the Harry Benjamin syndrome, or transsexuals,
mm-hmm.
their suicide rate for those who are under 30 is approximately 50%.
Well, and
for
that's
those who are over 30 in all age group is approximately 30%.
That's because there's no medical help. That's because there's no political help.
Right.
And those two things together add up to very little financial help.
Right. And we're completely...
It's like that article said here about, is that support? Remember?
Yeah. We are completely taken advantage of by the medical community because we're not covered by insurance. And this is such a desperate need for us to have surgery. Those doctors who do perform the surgery here in the United States charge astronomically high fees.
Well, that brings us all the way back around to where the program started. Where the program started is now there's at least a movement in the direction of what's right.
Yeah.
But that brings us back to what we said about the Pride Festival.
Yeah.
You're right. We weren't invited to stay on the bus.
Right.
And we didn't... Now we get to sit in the back of the bus. But I could
convenient.
Be wrong, but I think part of the reason why we're on the back of the bus, part of the reason why we're uninvited, you know, on the bus,
yeah,
in different towns or cities or what have you, is because those of us who are there do not make ourselves known.
Oh, absolutely.
And unless we do make ourselves known, politically, financially, whatever the case might be,
yeah,
we're never going to be anywhere on that bus.
I know.
This is never going to change.
I know. Unfortunately.
And of course, I guess it's easy for the gays and the lesbians to get their rights and pool their resources because they don't have to tell people they're gay at work. They want to.
Yeah.
They don't have to tell their families, but they want to.
Right.
And they suffer a lot of what we suffer when they do come out, but...
Oh, absolutely.
But they don't have to come out because, you know, the way their hair is cut or the clothes they wear or whatever doesn't... They don't have to reveal themselves unless they want to. Now, they want to because they're just like us.
Yes.
But we have to come out.
Yeah.
In order to... Well, promote our cause.
In order to follow the Harry Benjamin standards of care, we have to come out. We have to out ourselves because you're required to live your chosen gender for a year, a 1 year period.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that the gay and the lesbian population
are not required to live
in any particular way. They can just be gay or lesbian.
Right. They can be closeted gay and lesbian,
just like
Ted Haggard. He can be the leader of the right-wing evangelical church across the country and still have his gay relationship on the side. So, you know, and nobody knew.
And then at the same time, not only did he have it and nobody knew, but he was promoting very hard against it.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you looking for, hon? Oh.
in other words, it's one thing to not come out of the closet. It's another thing to be gay and be a gay basher. Yeah.
Yeah. To be gay in the closet and be a gay basher.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That is so. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't have the words to describe how I feel about someone like that. It is so asinine, though. I mean, it is so hypocritical. I mean, I don't know what the rest of the people of his faith believe, but...
Oh, they believe he can be healed.
I don't think he can be healed. I think he's already committed mortal sins by the actions he's done.
Well, the question is, how many people have suffered as a result of what he...
Exactly.
He has done.
You know, the thing is... You know, these people get up there and they...
And to what degree did they suffer?
Yeah, and they holler and, you know, carry on about, you know, they want to protect marriage. You know, you don't want same-sex marriage that transgendered are an abomination and, you know, transsexuals are abominations and...
Or they say two people can't love each other if they're the same sex.
And that is so much hooey. And the thing is... How much harm are they doing to the individuals out here on the street? That's exactly why we have such a high murder rate in our community.
But what is the horrible thing about it is the law
honestly,
doesn't... I mean, the law supports this lack of support.
That's because these people who are in a position of power are up there supporting it, and they're condoning it. I mean, it's okay to go out and kill a tranny. You know, it's okay to be a gay basher. You know, it's okay to go out and roll a same-sex couple. It's okay to firebomb their house. It's okay to shoot a transsexual young lady as she comes out of her apartment to go to work, right on her front steps, on her walkway.
It's okay not to investigate it if you're the police.
Right, and then have the police not even investigate it. And that's one of the worst things about this, is that for the most part, the hate crimes against the transgendered, transsexual community either are unsolved because they never investigated it, period, or are unsolved because of a lack of interest in solving it. And for the most part, it's condoned. And right now, it's condoned from the White House of this United States.
Yes.
And by condoning that, it's just like, I know a lot of people think that Ronald Reagan was one of the greatest presidents that we ever had in this country. He was a pretty good president, but he was also the worst president we ever had in this country for the average working man. And the reason being is because of his refusal to even talk to the PATCO union, which represented the air traffic controllers. He would not even talk to them, and he summarily fired them because of, you know, they wanted to negotiate a contract. That gave every company in the United States the green light to try and do everything they could to break their unions. And they've done a very, very good job of it. And because of that, most people out there now, the average everyday working person, they have to have two incomes in the house in order to make it before they can even pay rent. So, I mean, and that's the whole thing. Now you've got somebody in the White House that pretty much condones discriminating against same-sex couples and discriminating against everyone of the GLBT community, and especially the transgender, transsexual community, the Harry Benjamin syndrome people, you've got the Harry Benjamin standards of care on one hand dictating that you must live in your chosen gender, and then you've got the current administration standing up there and saying that this is such an abomination, and for so much giving the go-ahead to attack, maim, injure, and kill the people who are doing exactly what the medical community says they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know...
And nobody paying the bill to get them to where they need to be.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it seems like that different administrations need a group to single out and target to distract your attention from everything else that's going on in the administration. And the current administration that we have has been so corrupt. They have committed a number of impeachable offenses, not the least of was lying to the American public and manipulating intelligence reports to illegally enter into a war in the Iraq, and also taking the Homeland Defense Act, or whatever it's called.
Homeland Security.
The Patriot Act. Using the Patriot Act to just destroy the human rights in this country, and to just leapfrog right over the Constitution and say that the Constitution is of no consequence, you know. They're illegally holding people at Guantanamo. They have absolutely destroyed writ of habeas corpus. They don't have to prove anything now. They can wiretap. They can come into your home, and I'm talking about anybody's home
for any reason.
Country, for any reason.
For any reason.
Just like the 83-year-old lady down in Atlanta not too long ago, the DEA busted down her front door on a no-knock warrant which was a mistake because it was for the wrong house. And this was at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the woman is startled awake. She grabs her revolver and is what she thinks to be defending herself, and the DEA agents open up on her. And, you know, she was shot, you know, like 40-some times, you know. And that's why, is because the DEA has the right to tear down your door and come in. And it's just like the young man who was killed in Washington, D.C. at his bachelor's party because somebody thought he had a gun in the car. So they opened up and they shot the car. Over 500 rounds shot into that car. One officer alone even shot 36 rounds, which means he had to reload three times, you know. So you've got to have controls. The average citizen in this country has got to have their rights. And, I mean, you know, because those rights are supposedly guaranteed by the Constitution.
The average citizen supposedly has those rights.
The average citizen does not have those rights because they've been taken away from us gradually over the last 6 years by the current administration, either one way or another. They used the excuse of 9/11 to pass the Patriot Act, which gave broad-reaching powers to the executive branch, and the executive branch pretty much ignored the judicial and the legislative branch and just did whatever they wanted to and ignored the Constitution. And that is why the GLBT community is in the situation they're in now.
As I understand it, we only have one candidate potentially who will support the GLBT community.
Yeah, and of all things, he's a Republican. And
now,
that's Rudy Giuliani.
Has he said that he wants to support the T community or just the GLB?
He wants to support the entire GLBT community, and he thinks that same-sex marriages should be a given right. You know, and he supports same-sex marriage. So,
now, you know that he's not going to get a whole bunch of help in that area from his own party.
Well, I don't know.
So it's going to be highly, highly important for
those
of us.
I saw in some of the latest polls that he is one of the leading candidates for the group, or for the Republican nomination. So he may have a lot more support than people realize. I honestly believe that the people in the middle, the moderates of either side, don't, you know, they see the fallacy of making gay marriage an issue. And all that does is detract from the real issues in this country. We've got 35 million Americans out there with no health care insurance. You know, we have something like 6 million children every night go to bed hungry. You know, some children in this country, the only meals they see are when they go to school and have a meal at school. And that is deplorable for supposedly the richest, most powerful country in the world. I absolutely, at times, things that this country does makes me very ashamed.
So the point we're trying to make, if you're listening to this program today, is not only where the country's at, but what the importance is of you doing something. And where you're, if you're trans, it's important that you support your own cause.
Absolutely.
It's important that you come out and...
If you don't speak up for yourself, nobody else is going to.
Either come out yourself or speak through those who have come out. But let's do something.
Yes.
As a community.
Absolutely.
I'm talking internationally, as a community.
Yeah.
I know this program is international because it's on the internet. It goes everywhere. So internationally, let's do something. Let's not just talk on the blogs. Let's not just talk amongst ourselves. Let's not just give our own opinions and try for our own, you know, 15 minutes of glory.
Right.
But let's
call your congressman.
Do what we need to do to unite behind causes with the forces that are against us. I mean, there's been no better time.
I know.
There's been no better time. The trans community is more in the spotlight than they've ever been.
Yes.
I mean, even when you had those first surgeries, Christine Jorgensen and
right.
the others.
Think how brave those girls
were. But the point is, that that wasn't the same as what we're seeing today on on talk shows and having a GLBT, GLBT, right? GLBT program like Logo, or for that matter, these movies that have come out.
Brokeback
Transamerica, Brokeback Mountain, all of those. Yeah. The point is there's never been... Okay, or the rights that are in business with some companies, some corporations, and the HRT, you know, HRC having their... their equality, their equality index, even though that they could do so much more and we have some problems with them. But the point is, there's never been a time like this.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, there's never been a time also, I think, when it was easier, more people are out than used to be.
Yes.
But it's still not enough. And those that are out, a lot of them are just out for social reasons. They're not out there for the, you know, they're not out there for the political reasons. They're not out there trying to raise money. They're just out socially. Sometimes they're just out socially for themselves, not even as a group.
Absolutely.
And if Nashville happens to be better than these other cities, then Nashville should be a core.
Yes, you know, and Nashville should be very proud.
Nashville?
Our GLBT community in Nashville should be very, very proud on how well we do interact with each other.
But do they even
know?
Because
it is not that way across the country.
Do they even know? And why can't there be, you know, why couldn't that be a start?
Absolutely.
Across the nation.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Nashville could be a model for the rest of the country.
But, you know, the HRC takes in money from all the places, and one of the biggest people that they took money in, or organizations they take in, was from Nashville.
Yes, I know.
And yet Nashville, when they tried to get some support for a candidate, some finances and so forth, was told no.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why they withheld a lot of funds from them, too.
Yeah, and... You know, I understand the political process.
But it's
process.
Not just HRC, honey. There's IFGE, which is the International Federation Gender Education Foundation.
Yeah.
International Foundation for Gender Education.
Yeah, right.
That's a very good organization.
Right.
There's also NTAC, which is the National Transgendered Alliance Coalition. I think that's what it is.
The thing is, there's these organizations, but the people themselves.
Yes.
That one in 100 people.
You have to be active.
You know, that 30 million across the nation that we talked about.
Where are you at?
They're not supporting these organizations. And then the other question is, are the organizations supporting the causes that need to be supported, or are they being diluted? We've talked about that, because a lot of these organizations, they're getting the money, but they're not doing the job.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I've only been in the community for about 5 years, going on 5 years, and I hate to say it, but I think I probably know personally 90% of the Harry Benjamin syndrome individuals across the country who are politically and visibly active. I think I know all of them personally, or I know at least 85% of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've either met them or talked with them, or I've exchanged emails with them, because that group is so small. Even nationwide, there's probably less than 100 in the T community that are activists.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Yeah.
Because of the nature of who we are. We come out of the closet, and it completely turns our life upside down. You may or may not lose everything. And then you go through this period of reshaping and transitioning from who you were to who you are, and then you even carry it, you know, on, and are for some reason you're blessed to have the resources or whatever to have your surgery, and
then you go off since you've had yours because it's all done. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right. You don't have to fight for anything. You can assimilate.
Go back in the closet on the other side.
Right. Just assimilate into society again. We call it going back into the woodwork. And a lot of girls have done that. But yet, then what happens is legal cases like you had in Texas, like you had in Colorado, and like you had in Florida, where you may be married, and you know you might be a Harry Benjamin syndrome male to female who is married to a male because you had your birth certificate changed and et cetera, et cetera. And if your partner dies, then other relatives of that partner can challenge you in court. And they did that in Texas, and the stepchildren of the partner who was previously married, and it was the kids of his former wife, took the whole case to court, and this husband and wife's ranch was taken away from the wife, the surviving spouse. Everything. They took everything she had. And she had no legal inheritance rights because the state said that their marriage was never legal because she was still, as far as they were concerned, was a male.
Now, was that with or without the birth certificate change?
That was with the birth certificate change and after 22 years of being post-operative. So, the same thing happened in Florida in a child custody battle because the one parent who was seeking custody of their children was a transgender, transsexual. The court denied them the opportunity to have the custody of their children or even visitation rights. So they had no parental rights. So even if you are post-operative and you've gone back into the closet and you think life is just wonderful, there may come a time in your life when it's not so wonderful. And it may be at the very worst possible time in your life.
That's a good point.
So, you can't afford to not be an activist and try and gain the legal protection under the law for all of us.
You're listening to Nashville Gender Talk. This is Radio 98.9 WRFN, LPFM Pasco, Radio Free Nashville. Listen to us and buy product and merchandise and donate at www.radiofreenashville.org. Nashville Gender Talk can be called at 615-662-8229. You can call us and chat. I'm your host, Roxanne Fox. And what we're talking about is we're talking about rights and freedoms today. We're also talking to you ladies and you gentlemen out there who are suffering gender dysphoria. And maybe you don't know where to go. Maybe you don't know where to turn. Maybe you don't know how to go forward, whatever the situation is. Maybe you need a friend. Maybe you need somebody who understands your dilemma. And maybe you need an organization that can actually help you find some answers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to make another public service announcement. The 2007 National Conference on Media Reform will be held January 12th through 14th in Memphis, Tennessee. Activists, media marketers, educators, journalists, policymakers, and concerned citizens will gather in Memphis to mobilize for better media. The National Conference of Media Reform is for anyone concerned about the state of our media and working for change. This energizing weekend will present ideas and strategies for winning the fight and connect you to thousands of media reformers from across the nation. Don't miss this spectacular event. For more information, log on to the World Wide Web at www.freepress.net/conference.
You know, we've been talking about a lot of things here, and it'd be very easy for someone to say, well, wow, it is so bad, it is so horrible, why even bother? Well, it's not...
Oh, I can answer
it's
that.
Not, it's not it's not an option for many of you out there. It wasn't an option for me. It certainly isn't an option and wasn't an option for Sarah. And because it's not optional to be who you really are, that's the reason to bother. And also, the fact is, things can change. It's very bleak now, but things can change.
Yes.
The only thing we know for sure is things won't change if people don't bring about that change. Bad things happen when good people do nothing.
Absolutely.
Paraphrased, bad things happen to transsexuals when good transgendered people don't get off their butts and do what they need to do to fix it. And it's been happening for years.
Yes, it has.
Bad things happen to good people in the GLBT community when they let right-wing radicals make all the rules. And that's all we're trying to say. And, yeah, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberties, freedom, and justice for all. It was a wonderful vision, but we don't have it. And
well,
like Sarah was saying, it's being taken away from everybody, not just the transsexuals.
That's right.
The very fact that you have to live in a closet because you're someone else, the very fact that you had to be in the closet all your life because you were born with something in your head that told you you weren't what you had on your body, that you had to hide it from everybody around you, you had to hide it from mommy and daddy and brothers and sisters, and you certainly had to hide it from school. You sure didn't want to be in the gym room and let it out, you know. That whole thing is the fact that you don't have equal rights and equal justice.
Right.
But you need to address these issues if you're out there. I feel there are people that are out there that are listening to this program, and you need to realize you need to take steps one step at a time to become the person you were meant to be.
Yes.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's the person you were meant to be. This is not an accident. You were created for a purpose. What purpose? I don't know. Maybe, you know, if you're a Christian and you believe in God and the devil, maybe the devil got involved in the birth, but that doesn't alter the fact that God still loves you.
That's right.
Of course, you could be in the Native American belief, and now you're not only a good person, but you're a great person because you're a two-spirit and you're destined for greatness and glory.
Yes.
Whatever the case might be, I don't know all the other religions. I know that you're pretty highly esteemed if you're in India, too. But it doesn't matter what you are as far as what you believe or where you live. What matters is you have to be yourself.
Yes.
It's not an option.
Yeah. That's the thing. Most Native American tribes had the wisdom to recognize our greatness, and we do have a lot of advantages over someone who is just one gender, and that is that we understand both genders because we had to live in one gender, and we were actually born with the brain of the other gender. So, you know, we have certain inherited qualities that are unique to us. And I think you're going to make a comment.
My mind is a raging.
Oh, really? Your mind is raging?
Torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought.
Six alien abductions will do that to a girl.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
We'll get this thing right yet.
Yeah. You'll figure it. She's got a new toy, and she's been playing with it. And it's not been the best result. But, yeah, she'll
Six alien
it
abductions was
we'll
supposed
do that
to be
a girl.
Played. Yeah, we'll
yes
do that to a girl.
Yeah. I like that, though. 911. You know, the number you have dialed, 911, has been changed to an unlisted number. No further information is available. Right.
So if you are in the trans community and you don't want to wake up someday finding out that your 911 has been changed with no further information,
yeah,
then jump on the wagon now.
Yes.
When things are going a little bit better.
And, you know, I can tell you a very good...
than what they used to be.
A very good place to start. Okay?
Okay.
If you are totally clueless and you have reason to believe that you're a member of the GLBT community, a very good place to start is the Out Loud Bookstore on Church Street. They have a variety of inspirational and informational references and books, and the people there are very helpful. So that would be a good place to start. And they're open during the daytime. I think they open at like 11 o'clock. So I'm not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure that's somewhere around in there. But just stop by there, and they've got a lot of reference books that will help explain things for you.
And while we're talking about it, if you are transgendered, there is organizations in town. You can contact this program. You can also email Sarah at GIBS4551.
Yes, GIBS5441 at bellsouth.net.
Or myself, ROXIESLV2 at AOL.com.
Yes.
Or call in during this program. You can look on the internet at tvals.org. You can join Yahoo groups,
yes.
tvals.yahoogroups.com.
Yes.
There are ways, there are methods, there are means for contacting other people in the community, and you need to know those. And, of course, you can do this long distance or short distance. It doesn't matter because we have a wealth of resources available for those people who are either in Nashville or outside of Nashville.
Yes.
You
we
should
put
be
you in
seeking,
contact with a lot of people. You know,
you should be
places.
Seeking medical and psychiatric guidance.
Right.
You can also do that through the sources we've just mentioned.
And you need support. You
and
need
you
a support
definitely
system.
Definitely need support. Because
so.
Even if you start this journey and it's one of the best journeys you've ever done, you definitely need support.
You need help getting through it.
You definitely do.
Yeah.
Having said that, we really want to thank all of our listeners today. I want to give a special thank you to everyone who tuned in and wanted to call and couldn't. Hopefully you'll call the next time. You know, if you did try and call, you should have been able to get through, but if you couldn't, I do apologize for that. Nashville Gender Talk will be back next Thursday, but it'll be pre-recorded at 4 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to take our holiday Christmas break,
yes.
And so forth. And
I finally talked her into taking
yeah,
a break.
Yeah, not a workaholic anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing you can do is if you have programming that you'd like to hear on this program, in other words, if you'd like to hear us discuss a certain topic that you haven't heard us talk about, then you can email me at ROXIESLV2@AOL.com. Or any questions that you'd like answered. This is a talk show, and we'd love to have a call-in format with questions from our listeners. We've had a few over the year. We'd like to have more. I really want to thank my executive producer, co-host, and partner, Sarah Gibson, for joining us today and being with this program and being such a support to the program and to me. Also, I'd like to thank our co-host, Laura Beth Wages, for joining our program today. She has a lot of things going on. She's a member of IFGE. She's events coordinator with TVALS, and she's just got a lot of things, so we really appreciate it. She's got her own radio program, too. Be sure and
yes.
Tune in to hers next week.
She'll be back to her regular format.
Back
One
to her
hit
regular
wonders.
Format. One-hit wonders. We want to thank Miss Granuel. We're not sure where she's at. I haven't really been keeping up with all my emails the way I should, but the last I heard, she was in Thailand and having a wonderful time. So maybe she's going to be in Thailand keeping to have a wonderful
she
time.
She was considering staying.
Well, she did. I haven't heard anything back from her. And,
yeah.
But anyway, wherever you are, Miss Granuel, we appreciate everything you've done for Nashville Gender Talk and all your support. Also, we wanted to thank Ethan and Karen St. Pierre for simulcasting and restreaming Nashville Gender Talk at Trans FM 7 days a week
podcast.
And loading us onto podcasts.
Yes, thank you, Ethan.
And without all of our special friends, our program would not be what it is today. So hugs and kisses to all my friends. You know, to help someone improve their net worth is a wonderful thing, but to help someone to realize their self-worth is priceless. The ideas and the opinions expressed on Nashville Gender Talk are those of the host and the guests, not WRFN. Any medical, psychiatric, or financial opinions should be discussed with your professional advisors. Nashville Gender Talk does not endorse, warranty, or guarantee any professional service mentioned in the course of the broadcast. However, we have tried them if we mention them at all. Stay tuned now for the Colonel, our favorite commander of funk, coming up at the top of the hour. This is Roxy Fox saying have a wonderful evening. I'm going to, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.